This is part four of a four-part series trying to unpack the various imageries associated with the sukkah beyond the obvious, beyond sitting in the sukkah to reminisce about or to commemorate the protection, either actual or supernatural, that Hashem provided on our journey from Mitzrayim. The first shiur addressed the ability to create a structure or an edifice housing the Shechina, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, a mini Beis HaMikdash, and the various halachos which demonstrate the actual presence of the Shechina in a sukkah. The second shiur detailed the role of a sukkah as a shelter from apocalyptic fury in the end of days. The third shiur described our sukkah as a chance to reflect upon the dichotomy between Hashem's power and Hashem's glory, and a world which is yet incapable of containing that glory. And that offset is demonstrated by the Leviathan, which Hashem created but had to at least eliminate one half of the Leviathan team, the Taninim, because his creation was unmanageable in this limited moral, in this limited world. And the Jews are striving for the world in which the Leviathan will be converted from a fearsome force, which human beings can't conquer, as described in Eov, to the sukkah, which provides both nutrition, or the Leviathan, which provides both nutrition as the content of the meal, as well as protection of the sukkah, or shade and shelter. This shiur will try, the fourth shiur will try to describe two themes which Chassidus elaborated about sukkah. Now, the description of the sukkah in the world of Chassidus is just explosive. It's a lot of rich imagery. Many, many different ideas are expressed. I've tried to collate them into two basic categories, but there are many, many ideas expressed. And what's fascinating is, and it's very characteristic of Chassidus, is the search for additional psukim in the Torah that mention the word sukkot, even though those psukim are not describing the yontif of sukkos, as well as the manipulation or the engineering of the word sukkah to mean related terms, not just a shelter. I would divide these two meanings. Again, these are very, very general categories, and I'll try to delineate some of the subtleties within each category. One category I would call the category of embrace, where the sukkah mediates and embrace a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people. And the second is the sukkah as an epitome of living a life unencumbered by nature, unencumbered, as we would say, by social and economic mores and accepted patterns, and to leave your home and to experience religious moments that are disengaged from Teva. Now, what's interesting is that in almost all Hasidic ideas, there's a lot of attention placed on why sukkos succeeds the Yamim Narayim, being that it really isn't time-tagged in the Torah. It's when we left Egypt, and that could have taken place any time during the 40 years, certainly any time during the calendar year. So why it was chosen to immediately succeed Yom Kippur, this is a very, very important concept in Chassidus. And I should, one more point of preface or introduction, many of these ideas are rooted in Kabbalah, obviously pre-Chassidus, in the Zohar, in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, in other Kabbalistic applications, the Chidah. The Chassidus adopts it and then transforms it. So the Kedusha Salevi, of Levi Yitzchak HaBardishev, would refer to Sukkot as Tshuva Me'ahava. Now, Tshuva Me'ahava is itself a very provocative term, but it certainly captures the love that Hashem expresses for us and to us in the aftermath of a successful Tshuva. And that love is expressed by his cordoning off a special location, a special rendezvous for us to interact. And that rendezvous was the sukkah. It's based on a pasuk and many other Hasidic writings in Shir HaShirim, B'tzilo Chimadati v'yashavti. I wanted to reside in his shade. Now, then in Shir Hashirim, tzilo doesn't mean a sukkah tzilo, it just means in his ambience, in his presence. But the appearance of the term tzel, and keep in mind the word tzel never appears in the Torah per se as a description of sukkah. The Torah just describes the word sukkot. But of course, the Gemara elaborates that the schach must provide tzel, at the very least. And I mentioned in Shir number 2, part 2, the Zohar terming the sukkah as a tzilo de memnusa. So Chassidus is particularly sensitive to psukim which describes shade. So Am Yisrael, the woman in this courtship, is desiring, is coveting to sit in the shade of its male counterpart. V'imino techapkeni, and not just to sit in the shade, but there's an upgrade or an intensification, and I should be embraced by his hand. And of course, these are very, very audacious statements that can only be written in Shir Hashirim. Based on this, the Ari HaKadosh once described, or used to describe, the sukkah. The sukkah, the four walls that we typically assume apply to the sukkah. First of all, you don't need four, you need three. Second of all, that third wall is even one tefach. Or the language of the Gemara, shtayim ki hilchason v'shlishis afilu tefach, based on an underemployment of the actual term sukkot in the Torah. The word sukkot only appears twice in Parshas Emor. It appears in other locations, which I'll mention shortly. But the Gemara expands this to claim that the sukkah only has to be two perpendicular walls followed by a third offshoot whose distance or whose spread only has to be a tefach. Now, from a halachic standpoint, this formation, if we can imagine an L with a little clip coming off of one side of the L, the top part of the L, it suggests that the walls aren't essentially part of the sukkah. The walls are only necessary to create a space that's defined or identified as the space of the sukkah. And if you have two perpendicular walls followed by a little tag coming off of one of the walls, you can draw a diagonal from that tag all the way down and have a clearly circumscribed location. But for the Ari HaKadosh, two long limbs or two long elements and one short or truncated element resembled, interestingly enough, an arm. An arm has two long extensions, the triceps and the biceps, the forearm and the forearm and the brachial, the part of the arm that extends from the shoulder to the elbow. And our sukkah is meant to resemble an embrace by the arm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally, v'imino techapkeni. So as with many Kabbalistic statements, this is a very physical way of imagining HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace. I mentioned before the search in Chassidus for other alternative psukim in the Torah describing sukkah even in a non-sukkah context. So, of course, the three Amtovim stack up nicely with the three Avos. And there are many parallels, and I'll try to mention this a bit later, between Avraham and Sukkot, and the Sfas Emes in particular noted these. But if any of the Avos are connected to Sukkot, it would appear that it's Yaakov Avinu. Because in Parshas Vayishlach, he and Esav separate, and Yaakov, v'Yaakov nasa Sukkosa, he visits a place called Sukkos, but even lo bayis, and for himself he builds a home, but for his cattle, v'ulemikneu asa Sukkot, he creates little huts, al kain karashem makom Sukkot, despite the fact that he built a home for himself, he named the location based on the huts for his cattle. Interestingly enough, this is the only pasuk in Tanakh in which the term Sukkot appears three times, v'Yaakov nasa Sukkota, Mikneo in the pasuk means cattle, but it could also mean the acquired one, the chosen one. In certain brands of Hasidus, it could also refer to non-perfect Jews, and this is an important thesis in Hasidus, this large edifice that can contain both righteous and less righteous. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Sechah Sukkah, Daf Chaf Chasam and Beis, which highlights the term Kol Hazrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos, that all citizens, all members of the Jewish people can sit in a sukkah. And the Gemara describes a sukkah that every single Jew, one sukkah, can reside in, and there are halachic applications of that reality. But forget the inclusiveness and the inclusion of sukkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yaakov Avinu, creates a sukkah for his mikneh, for his cattle, for his kinyan, for that nation that he acquired. Certainly, in light of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is seen as our initial marriage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we are already owned by Hashem, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking his wife, whom he had already owned, or already was Mekadesh, and bringing that woman into a home, into a sukkah, resembles a chuppah, resembles a consummation of a marriage and an intensification of intimacy. Another phraseology in which the term sukkah is mentioned in the end of Tfilas Maariv, the third bracha in Maariv, or the second bracha, after Kriya Shema, HaParis Sukkah Shalom Aleinu V'al Kol Amo Yisrael V'al Yerushalayim, which is the bracha we recite on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It also makes mention of a sukkah, HaParis Sukkah Shalom Aleinu, and it describes the sukkah in chuppah-like terminology, spreading something over us, a cloth, a sheet, a canopy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a space for interaction, a space for embrace, tzila d'emnusa, a space for the ramifications of our tshuva to be felt, tshuva me'ahava, and a space in which we see him and feel him, but he also looks at us. And that's why the schach can't be too thick. Because if the schach is too thick, in chassidus, Hashem can't see us. But if the schach has cracks, then Hashem can be metis min acharakim. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim describes the male as looking from the windows and seeing us from the cracks. And one interpretation is to contrast. There are certain times where our relationship is defined as visuals that are very clear and direct window-like interaction. Then there are moments in which the relationship is much more muddled and there's obscurity, but there's still cracks through which at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see us, and presumably we can see him seeing us. So the sukkah, which shelters us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heaven, but can't be so thick as to prevent, as the Gemara says, or the Rishonim say, seeing the stars, is to allow those visuals to exist between people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mentioned before that Chassidus tries to locate alternate meanings, or not just alternate iterations of the word sukkah, but alternate meanings of the word sukkah. One of Rivka's names was Yiska, one of her nicknames, and Rashi interprets the word Yiska as stemming from the word l'schot, to see, samach kaf vav taf. And at least in the case of Sarah, it either referred to the fact that everyone looked or gawked at her beauty, as well as the fact that she saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Ruach HaKodesh. So applying the term sukkah, vision, seeing Hashem, seeing Ruach HaKodesh, transforms the sukkah from a pure shelter into a track or an interface for us to see Hashem and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at us. In addition, the shade of the sukkah is contrasted, ironically, with a tree that doesn't provide much shade. Tachas ha-tapuach arartiha. In Shir HaShirim again, a rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes place under an apple tree. And the Medrash, a very popular and frequently cited Medrash, describes the apple tree as one of the trees whose shade is very sparse. The leaves aren't very thick, unlike, let's say, a fig tree. And for this reason, many nations chose not to place themselves under the apple tree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Jewish people, because of their dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chose the apple tree despite its lack of apparent shade. And by choosing the apple tree, even though the shade doesn't appear obvious, we create an actual shade of the sukkah. So there's this commitment and devotion, even though the shade isn't obvious. And let's say we translate it into terms, even though it's not obvious that Hashem will always protect his chosen people,
but were still devoted, even through difficult times in which that shade and shelter doesn't seem obvious. And then ultimately, in the resolution of this drama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shade is obvious, and there's a contrast between the embrace and the faith that the Jews feel in the sukkah and other nations are unable to locate. And that's captured by a medrash that appears quite frequently, that at the end of days, the nations try to keep the mitzvah of sukkah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially, in many different variations, doesn't accept it as real and authentic, in part, based on this view, because when the shade was less apparent, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in history was less obvious, when it wasn't the sukkah, but it was an apple tree, so the nations were less willing to surrender themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the narrative at Har Sinai, the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the Torah to many nations, and only the Jewish people adopt it. So this is really the first very, very general theme. All these subdivisions themselves represent variances, different articulations, but the commonality is the sukkah is not just a shelter or a protection, as it was in the desert, but it becomes a place, a space, a chuppah, an embrace of a hand, a visual that's bilateral, a place for us to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Milashon Sukkah, a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to house his mikneh, his cattle, whether it's the cattle that he purchased or cattle meaning less than stellar Jews. And that's really the first theme. The second theme is to walk away from our home. To walk away from our home means to surpass nature, to transcend the shackles of nature. Literally, to fly. Now, this is based on, I would say, two themes. First of all, the transformation of the term sukkah into nesicha, or nesichos, which means princes, kings, nobility, people who have no reason to fear. And certainly the sukkah connotes less fear, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, building the sukkah in an open, vulnerable location. Certainly it is nostalgic about the period when we left Mitzrayim and we were literally treated like kings and noblemen, certainly during those first couple weeks when we left before we failed at the Egel. Ki basukos hoshafti es b'nei Yisrael behotzi'i osam. The term behotzi'i osam can be, on the one hand, a time tag when they left Mitzrayim, but it could also be a logical relationship. Their leaving Mitzrayim created a quote-unquote sukkah-like feel. Sukkah not in the term of a shelter, but in the concept of freedom and nobility and aristocracy. But this concept of departing from natural limitations, living unafraid, living beyond the suppressed, spiritually mediocre state of humanity, is highlighted by yet a different mention of the term sukkos in Tanakh. In Shmos Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael me Ramses sukkosa. So their first part of the journey was from a place called Ramses, which we know, to a place called Sukkos, interestingly enough. Rashi, in a different location, claims that the rapidity by which they traveled from Ramses to Sukkos, and not just the rapidity of the actual journey, but the rapidity of the transformation, transforming from slaves heavily burdened by cattle and food into B'nai Yisrael Yatzu Biyad Rama, Yatzu Kol Tzivos Hashem, two psukim later, transforming into angelic-like creatures, that is captured by the pasuk in Yisro, Vo'asa Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim, Vavi Eschem Elai, literally an image of flight and flying and soaring above Teva. So the distancing from our home is not just distancing from the shelter of our home and creating vulnerability, which demands greater faith, but it's creating supernatural potential, living lamala min hateva, captured through the metaphor literally of flying, which is connoted in that pasuk in Yisro, that I took them on the wings of eagles, which Rashi believes
characterizes that first part of the journey from Ramses to Sukkos. And this becomes a second theme of the Sukkah, to reach, obviously metaphysically, because these are not things that we can chart empirically, to reach a state of spiritual consciousness unencumbered by the shackles of day-to-day routine, of luxury, of social limitations. There's a progression to it where, of course, there's a Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Eliezer, were the original Sukkos made of wood huts, or were the original Sukkos made of Anani HaKavod? And this can be seen as a progression, that by walking out of your home into a wooden hut, you then are able to distance yourself from the home, and through the wooden hut, be able to see, again, the theme of Sukkah as seeing something that isn't there, sochin, to see something through vision, to see the Anani HaKavod. That can only be accomplished by walking away. So the Jews have to walk away in Mitzrayim from slavery so that they could see the Anani HaKavod and stand at Har Sinai. Avram Avinu had to walk away from his past so that, unencumbered by that cultural obscuring, he could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if anything, there is a parallelism between leaving your home and walking into the Sukkah in Avram. And there's, it's interesting whether Sukkos is more similar to Avram or more similar to Yaakov. Interestingly enough, Yitzchak is not really something spoken about too frequently in Chassidus as a template for Sukkos. On this note, I'll just conclude with an interesting statement of the Sfas Emes from Tuf Reish Mem Dalad. He talks about this whole concept of being able to live above Teva, even when the Teva is depressing, whether it's depressing morally, religiously, or depressing politically, because the Jews have subjugated. And he writes about the phrase in Parshas Emor, Laman Yedu Darosechem. This is something that your future generations should be aware of. So first of all, the term Das, which is employed specifically about the Yantav of Sukkos. The term Das doesn't appear in the description of Pesach or Shavuos, in which the mitzvahs are just mechanical, eating matzah. With regard to Sukkos, there's a knowledge base and an understanding. And Kabbalah and Chassidus is a deeper understanding of something which isn't obvious or overt. But the word Darosechen is written without the Vavs in Parshas Emor. And for the Sfas Emes, this represents a guarantee, a foreshadowing that there'll be periods later in history where Jews will be particularly subjugated, or persecuted, and they will reach the Shefa HaMadriga. They will reach generations that are chaser, that don't have a vav, but they should still know, they should still aman yedu dorosechem, that they shouldn't sink into natural situations. Again, this is natural situations, the dispiriting state of the Jewish people in Galus. And then he writes a very interesting statement, V'efshar ki bedaros halalu chaviv biyoser lefanav yisbarach mitzvah sukkah. It could be that in the modern period, he's referring to the pre-state period, but in the modern period, the mitzvah of sukkah is even more beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki harishonim, earlier generations, hirgishu b'chalo shem shemayim ala sukkah. They were able to sense, obviously, Hashem's presence in the Sukkah. V'ro hoshbizim, they actually saw these great people. V'anachnu, ein itanu yodea adma. We don't see hoshbizim. We don't sense this as obvious in our world. V'im koza, and yet, despite the obscurity, anu chasim betzila, we still sit in Hashem's shade, not just in our Sukkah, but in our annual experience, and therefore our commitment to that disjoining from nature and believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being unencumbered by the depressing historical trajectories is even more astounding and more impressive. I should also say, just as an aside, that in many statements of Chassidus, the Sukkah becomes a miniature Eretz Yisrael because of Hashem Shechina, as I discussed in the first year, and because of Yaakov creating Sukkos
in Eretz Yisrael, so the same sukkah can recreate Eretz Yisrael outside of Eretz Yisrael. And of course, this just distills a very famous issue as to whether Chassidus was able to create Eretz Yisrael as a modality that's not geographic. And you can live in Eretz Yisrael or live a state of Gula even outside of Eretz Yisrael, which on the one hand overlaps with Zionism, the active redemptive nature of Chassidus, obviously by severing it from its geographical source. It only departs with Zionism. But that's just as an aside. These are really two very, very dominant strains in Chassidus. One is the sukkah as an embrace. One is the sukkah as a departure from our routine to enable more supernatural experience, and a supernatural experience which is characterized, at least metaphorically, by flying in a way that human beings obviously can't, given under natural conditions.